This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Good evening and welcome to Well, Adam and Tex with you tonight from the Health Promotion Program at the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Thanks as always to Doug and the Rainbow Report team for another fantastic show. Good evening, Adam. How are you tonight?
I am fantastic, despite the freezing cold temperatures of Melbourne, which I'm disliking immensely.
You're disliking them and you're saying that it's cold here in the studio with my...
No, well, it's nice in the studio now, but thanks. On the way in and sort of out for my, you know, little breaks, it's actually quite cold.
Oh, yes, it is. It is cold outside, sure. I'll grant you that.
But how are you tonight, Texas?
I'm very well, thank you. Very well indeed.
Fantastic. Well, Tex, I ask you this every single time we're on radio. Very important question.
Adam, sometimes I ask you the question, but anyway, fire away.
What is on the show this week?
Well, Adam, this week, as you would be aware, but perhaps our listener may not be, this week is the fourth of our four special shows that we've been presenting through the month of July because we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. Each week we've had a guest chatting about each decade of our history. Like, for example, last week we had Mike Kennedy talking about the 2000s. Well, we have a different Mike this night. I'm speaking into one and we have a different one in the studio. Tonight we'll be chatting with Mike Williams. He's our president, the president of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And he's going to be chatting about where the organisation is at the moment and where he sees us in the future. But
Adam, Mike. Yes, dear.
That should be lots of fun. We love to hear from our listener.
We do indeed.
Are there a number of devices, platforms, areas of ways that they can get in contact with us tonight?
Yes, there are many ways.
Right.
I don't know about devices or all that sort of. You don't really get technology text, but I love you anyway.
Thank you.
If you do actually want to get in contact with us, you can like us via Facebook, which is facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy. Or you can speak with Disco Robbie, who's on reception, by calling 1300-JOY-949 or send us an email, which is onair@joy.org.au, or send an SMS, which is 0427-JOY-949, and we get the emails and the SMSs right here in the studio. So that's direct contact.
It is direct contact. If you ring in, then the gorgeous Disco Robbie runs in with a slip of paper for us.
Yes, he does.
Otherwise, we get to see your messages here in the studio. And you said the Facebook bit, didn't you?
I did indeed.
Yeah. So you can always let us know during the rest of the week via our Facebook page, facebook.com/wellwellwelljoy, what you'd like us to talk about. If there's any issues that you'd like to hear us discuss, anything about sexual health, health in general, anything about HIV or any sexually transmitted infections. I mean, we love chatting about syphilis.
Exactly. But Tex, I've got another little question for you.
Which is what's just that?
Obviously, every single time we've done a decade, the 80s, the 90s or the noughties, we've obviously chosen music from those decades. Now, I know you love your CDs, whereas Jason and I like to play from our iPhones.
That's right. Yep.
So how many songs from 2010 onwards have we got tonight?
Well, Adam, I think we might have one song from 2010 onwards.
Rightio.
And the rest have bled in from the noughties. Because the songs were naughty, we're going to be playing them from that decade.
That's a nice little segue, but it still doesn't
Isn't
fly.
It? And after this next delightful track from 2011...
Which is?
It's The Lady is a Tramp.
Ooh, good
and
choice.
And it's a duet between Tony Bennett and the one and only Lady Gaga. Ooh. I know, and that was Matthew Mitchum saying something along the lines of, you're listening to Joy 94.9, but he was saying it in French. So Jason at home would be chanting with joy.
Do you know, I always find it really weird that you're the only one that plays the French CSAs, or the little sort of, you know, interludes to sort of lead us back
and
in.
And I'm the only one who doesn't speak it.
Well, I don't speak it either, so neither of us actually understand what's being said.
Perhaps our guest did. We will find out very soon. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And, of course, that was the sensational Lady Gaga with Tony Bennett doing a bit of a duo with The Lady Is a Tramp. And we're not going to actually dedicate that song to anybody. This is, of course, Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. And joining Adam and I this evening, we are extraordinarily pleased to have in the studio with us the president of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, Mike Williams. Good evening, Mike, and welcome back. And we can say that, welcome back to Well, Well, Well.
Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you here. Now, Mike, whilst you've been on the show before, our listener out there may not have heard you or heard about you, so perhaps we can start with a little bit about you. Like, for example, can you share with us when you joined the Victorian AIDS Council as a volunteer?
Sure. I joined in, I think it was 2006, and I started volunteering in HIV services. So I was volunteering, coordinating the HIV AIDS Legal Centre at the Positive Living Centre. That was my start. And then in 2008, I ran for the board. And then in 2010, I became president.
Oh.
Just a short little jump up the ladder and look where you've ended
up. The greasy pole, yeah.
But obviously, I mean, there's a multitude of organisations within the community that do a lot of really good work that do require, I guess, a lot of volunteers. So why specifically was the Victorian AIDS Council something that you wanted to, I guess, volunteer with?
Yeah, I guess a lot, like a lot of gay men, I had felt, I knew in a very vague kind of sense the history of the organisation and what had been achieved in the early years of the AIDS epidemic. And I suppose I had a kind of very fuzzy sense that I wanted to give something back. I can't say that I had any connection necessarily to anyone who was HIV positive or that I'd had any prior connection to the organisation, but I'd wanted to give something back to the organisation because I knew just how much or how significant it had been in terms of not only the Victorian response to HIV and AIDS, but the national response as well.
So if we can go back in time to before 2006, when was the first time that you're conscious that you were aware of HIV being something that was around?
I think the first time that it, well, I always known that it was around because I think it kind of just surrounds, I mean, it's something that I think gay men, young gay men at a very early age encounter in one way or another. And I think that's a testament to how good the education programs have been of all the AIDS councils. I'd invited David Menadue to come to the law school and speak when I was the queer officer at the law school. And I didn't know David. I'd read his book, Positive, and his speech about his experiences discovering that he was HIV positive and his experiences coming out had such a profound effect on me. And David remains one of my personal idols and someone that I very much look up to. So I think when I was in law school, I think that's when it kind of hit me.
Mm-hmm. And I think you kind of really touched on it. So obviously before joining VAC, you didn't really know many people living with HIV, so that wasn't the main motivation for getting in helping. So, I mean, obviously, as you said, you'd read David's book. So did you have, a preconceived notion of what living with HIV was like?
I would have had the same kind of notions that people do when they're generally not very informed about it. So I would not have known at that time, that, for instance, treatments have been there was a revolution in treatments, and that there's no AIDS epidemic in Australia anymore, and that people with HIV can now live very healthy and active lives. So I wouldn't have known that at the time. So as soon as I became involved in the organisation, I had a kind of very, very rapid education in HIV and what it meant to be living with HIV. I mean, the kind of converse side of that is that we still have a lot of people who have been living with HIV/AIDS for a very long time, and they are in contact with the AIDS Council, and that I think that while there is that sense that HIV is now something that's a chronic manageable illness, that we still have a lot of people who are not doing so well because they might be living in poverty, or they might have very long-term health issues because they've been living with AIDS for a long time.
Okay, Mike, we need to hear some important community service announcements. We will return to our conversation, really interesting conversation, with Mike Williams, the President of the Victorian AIDS Council. But first, we need to hear these messages. And, of course, you are listening to Joy 94.9, your passport to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender and intersex communities worldwide. Thanks, Neil. Look, we hope you're listening right now, and we hope you're enjoying this sensational interview we're having with Mike Williams, the President of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. This is, of course, Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9, and we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council. Now, Mike, you mentioned that you joined the organisation as a volunteer in 2006 and went into HIV services, and then you went on the board, and then in 2010 you became the president. So why run for president? What motivated you to, you know, desire for power? What?
To be honest, I suppose, and I think this is something that, you know, we might touch on when we discuss the launch of the book. Mm-hmm. I'd felt at the time, and I'd felt when I ran for the board, that that the organisation wasn't connecting as well with its community as it could, and I think that that's something that any organisation that's been around as long as ours has, you know, would kind of wax and wane a bit, and I guess I'm not so young now, but I felt that I was young then, and I didn't feel that the organisation, particularly in kind of its public messaging, was doing as well as it could. So they were my main motivations for, you know, for wanting to up the community engagement a bit.
Mm-hmm. And obviously you did just mention then about the waxing and waning. So I guess, you know, what do you personally consider to be, I guess, the successes and perhaps failures of the organisation's response to HIV, I guess, in the recent past?
Well, I think the successes are that that those who are involved in the organisation from an early time mobilised the community so effectively and had an extremely strong advocacy voice with government. So they created or managed to create a very robust framework for saying that the community has to be centrally involved in any response to HIV. And I think that model and that framework has shown to be far better than any alternative in any country you can point to around the world. And I think that was kind of the real success of the organisation. You know, I don't think I can point to any failures. I think, like all organisations that have been around a long time, we have to resist the bureaucratic forces. We have to be setting our own health. The community itself has to be setting its own health agenda. So the principle of we decide what the issues are that we want a response to, and then we have a partnership with government, not the government gives us money for certain things and we say that's what we'll do. And I think that's still something that all community organisations, there's that constant tension that we have to always be aware of. I think we need to guard against insularity, and I think the entire HIV sector needs to not think that HIV, to look inwardly at the issue of HIV and look at broader issues of what drives vulnerability to HIV. So So, for instance, you know, you have to look at homophobic violence, you have to look at punitive laws and say that those things are the broader context drive vulnerability as much as unsafe sex narrowly conceived. So, yeah, they would be the things that I would say that we always have to be doing better at.
Indeed. And probably some of the things which we'll be working towards in the foreseeable future. Right now, we're going to hear another piece of music. This piece is by Melinda Schneider, and it's from her CD, Melinda Does Doris, as in Doris Day. So this is a Doris Day track. Perhaps, Mike, it'll bring back memories. Adam, it might bring you back some anguish. This is Well, 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 here on Joy 94.9.
Just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich?
That's right, and my name's Tex McKenzie. I'm not the Lord Mayor, but I'm also here on Joy 94.9, as is Adam, my co-host, and our special guest this evening, Mike Williams, the president of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And of course, this is the show, Well, 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 where we're celebrating in July the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And just then, that was, of course, Melinda Schneider with Que Sera, Sera.
That was such a great song.
I know you don't like it, and I saw the message that you put on Facebook about do people love, like, or hate my music. I saw that, Adam. Yes.
Well, actually, just on that note, we've had a couple of messages come through.
Right. Yep.
One is from Celine, which is, have a great show, boys. Enjoy music from this millennium. Well, yes, luckily enough, Tex was able to find some CDs. And we also had one from Scotty, which is, hello, can you please play Body and Soul, which is Tony Bennett and Amy Winehouse. Love, Scotty. Now, unfortunately, Tex is inflexible with his music choices.
That song actually goes too long, and I have a philosophy when I'm doing radio, less track, more chat. So we're going to continue our chat with our guest tonight, Mike. Now, Mike, recently, of course, as we've begun to celebrate, and we're, well, smack bang in the middle of celebrations of the Victorian AIDS Council's 30th birthday, and the final event is, of course, happening this weekend, what's been your impression of the lectures that have been going? We had a lecture from Adam Carr talking about, and he was an early president, perhaps you're filling his shoes. He was back in the 1980s.
I would never claim to do that.
You'd never claim to do that?
Oh, no.
Oh, right. He's probably listening, so that's a good idea. Then we had last Friday Bernard Gardner, who was a general manager, which is the same as executive director, the new title. He was talking about the 1990s. And on Tuesday, and so I'm not asking you what you thought of me, I talked about the 2000s or the noughties and a reflection of my 24 years of involvement. So putting me out of the picture, what did you think of the other lectures and what do you think of the exhibition at the Public Record Office in North Melbourne?
Why can't I comment on your lecture?
Oh, well, you can.
Oh, so do it. Critique away.
I thought they were fantastic, and they were actually a really honest account of just what we were talking about before, which is the successes and you know, not failures, but the successes and drawbacks of our approach. And I think they've been wonderful. And something that struck me is that a lot of the campaigns at the Public Records Office, the poster campaigns, safe sex campaigns, there's such a vast array of them that I hadn't actually seen before, and that I think a lot of people wouldn't have seen, that at the time caused a lot of controversy, but were highly effective. So I think they're the things that have really stuck with me.
So has it been a bit of been there, heard that before type stuff, or has there been stuff from the three decades, I guess, in the lectures themselves that has surprised you? You've said that you have yet to be downstairs in the basement having seen my gorgeous collection of posters I've been saving for 24 years. We will fix that. But has it been very much of what you would have expected people to say, or have there been some standout stuff that's come out of the lectures?
No, I think there has been standout stuff that's come out. I mean, it wasn't expected at all, and the three lectures brought a really fresh perspective to what is often a history that many people in our community know. So I think mm-hmm. the value of them has been to draw out, you know, particularly your lecture text, aspects of your work that that... You know, you think, well, this didn't work so well, and we should have done this differently. So I think they were brilliant.
And I guess just to completely flip it on its side, in terms of, you know, I guess in the 80s it was about understanding what HIV and AIDS was. In the 90s there was all this talk about, you know, a cure's not that far away, and the same in the noughties. So what are your thoughts on news of a possible cure for HIV, I guess, in the nearish future? Like, is it more wishful thinking or is there something more concrete?
Oh, I think the consensus of all the leading scientists in this field is that it's many, many, many years off. I mean, if you look at the comments of, you know, our own Sharon Lewin at the Burnett, who's also at the Alfred, you know, she remains hopeful that the science is developing in a way that they're able to discover new things all the time, particularly about, you know, how the virus actually kind of goes to sleep and wakes back up with certain drugs. But she herself has said that she thinks that it's probably a couple of decades off before we're even realistically kind of contemplating a cure.
Of course, one of the really good things is, as we've heard through the series of lectures, in around 95, 96, was when the antiretroviral or the anti-HIV medication came in. That certainly turned around the lives of people living with HIV, people who had been, well, sometimes quite almost literally on their deathbeds.
Absolutely.
Were jumping up. In fact, Bernard titled his lecture The Lazarus Effect, you know, people rising from their beds and walking again.
Sure.
So it will probably, I would see that it's probably going to be the development of better treatments. But I was referring to some. I was talking to someone today and said that when I joined the organisation in 89, I was told quite firmly there will be a cure within 10 years. I read a newspaper report a couple of weeks ago that said there will be a cure in about 10 years.
Yes.
So,
and of course, the mainstream media doesn't understand obviously the kind of complexities of the science, so we often hear that a cure might be imminent or that there's hope for a cure, but I think you're exactly right. Where we need to be putting our energies now is making sure that as many different prevention approaches and treatment options are available to people, and that's something that, you know, it's reflected in our strategic plan, but we've still got a lot of work to do to make sure that those full range of approaches are available to the community.
We need to hear a couple more important community service announcements. And I do stress to our listener, support the people who support Joy because they help to keep us on air. This is Well, Well, Well here at Joy 94.9. Indeed you are. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre, and Adam and I are joined, of course, with our guest, Mike Williams. Now, Mike, last year the Victorian AIDS Council embarked on a new direction with the release of a new strategic plan. This one, which went from, or is going from, 2012 through to 2017. So, if you like, a five-year plan, a bit like the communists. What's it all about?
Well, it's about it was about reviewing how, you know, the way that we did our work and looking at what new directions we might take and the future of the organisation. Basically, mm-hmm. what were the things that we wanted to do in the next 5 years? And as I was saying before, probably the main thing that came out of that was a determination to look at what's called treatment as prevention and new prevention approaches that have not been used in the past as much, and to try and integrate those into our work as well.
And so, I mean, what exactly are the strategic objectives? And are they realistic or a tad sort of like pie in the sky? Because, you know, everyone will have a strategic, I guess, direction or a plan, whatnot, and some of them are quite, I guess, optimistic.
Yeah. Well, I don't think they're pie in the sky at all. I mean, the main strategic objective is to reduce rates of HIV. We've shown over the last 30 years that's our main game, and that's what we're successful at doing. However, obviously, rates of HIV have not gone to zero, so there's still a lot of work to be done. And as you would both know, working in the health promotion program, all of the prevention approaches up until very recently have been based on condom reinforcement. Treatment as prevention or relying on other treatment approaches means that we'll be emphasising other things in addition to condom reinforcement. So that I think is quite contentious in the community and is something that was discussed in our strategic plan, and it's obviously something that's going to be discussed as the campaigns roll out as well.
Now, Mike, who does the Victorian AIDS Council need to bring on board? And I mean, like, from other parts of the HIV sector, but perhaps also the rainbow communities, like the GLBTIQ sure. communities, that currently aren't mm. part of what we do or yeah. part of our mission.
Yeah.
Who do we need to bring on board, and why do we need them?
Well, I think this was what part of the strategic plan was about, was mm-hmm. saying that, you know, we can provide a leadership role for organisations that work with the GLBTI community. And the reason that I think that we should be partnering with lots of different community organisations is that there is unmet need in terms of the health of the community. And, you know, VAC has got... It works at scale. It's a very large organisation. It's proved very successful at what it's done. So we think that, you know, one of the outcomes of the plan was that we think that we're able to actually partner with and support a lot of smaller organisations, not only in it may not be in service delivery, of course, it will be in arguing for funding for those organisations. It will be advocating that government concentrate on their issues. It could be anything. So that was, again, was one of the outcomes of the strategic plan.
And so I guess sort of based on that, do you think it's more of a leadership role or a supporting role?
I think it's both. I think it is a leadership role, but it's also very much based on the idea that you would partner with organisations and not say, well, we're the larger body in this community and you should do... You should do things the way that we do things. That was very much ruled out. And it was about being really clear about who we spoke for. You know, VAC doesn't speak for the broader GLBTI community. There's a massive amount of capacity to work with the broader GLBTI community, but that doesn't mean that we're the authoritative voice for, you know, for transgender people, for mm-hmm. instance, or intersex people. That's not what it's about. I think there's a great deal of commonality in our work and great potential. And again, I think that's something that we're only now really doing.
Yeah. Thank you, Doug. We have another piece of music. This one is from 2007 by Clay Calloway. It sort of sums up, the relationship I have with my partner.
Judith.
That, of course, was Clay Calloway with All the Man That I Need.
Which was the worst rendition of a Whitney Houston song I've ever heard in my entire life.
Oh, you should read the cover notes. He actually wanks on about how gorgeous it is.
Does he?
I can say the word wank on radio. It's all right. This, of course, is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. We're celebrating the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council. And each week during July, we've had a special guest. And tonight, that special guest is the president of the Victorian AIDS Council, Mike Williams. Now, Mike, we've looked at your role tonight, looked a bit at you and a bit of your role, how the Victorian AIDS Council's going. We looked a little bit into the future via our strategic plan. But where to from here? Is there anything exciting on the horizon? Anything coming up in the next year or so?
Well, as I said before, I hope that we're able to launch some really exciting campaigns based around the idea that people should people who are living with HIV mm-hmm. should get on treatments.
Yep.
And not only for their own health benefits, but because it'll have broader benefits in terms of protecting their partner. I think there's a great deal of excitement around the fact that we're about to open a rapid testing centre.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And this is very, very exciting. And also we've got the AIDS 2014 conference next year in Melbourne, at which there'll be about 25,000 of the leading lights in HIV/AIDS science and community work who'll be descending on Melbourne, and they'll be able to see what fabulous work we do here.
And I guess that means we'll have a non-stop array of guests coming into the studio.
Yes.
And I would imagine in other parts of Joy as well, during different parts of the day.
Definitely.
There are other sorts of shows, so I'm sure lots of the people will be interested in talking to some of those experts and some of the community leaders from around the world.
Oh, definitely.
And so I guess, obviously, going forward, because we're now in 2013, oh my God, I can't believe I didn't double check that. So what's your personal vision for the future of VAC and what we currently do, and I guess, you know, where we're sort of going?
Sure. I think my personal vision dovetails quite nicely into what we've laid out in the strategic plan, which is that I hope that VAC can work towards making a whole range of different things which aren't currently available to people available to prevent HIV. I'd like to see us have what's known as PrEP in Victoria, which is, you know, where someone is able to actually take an HIV pill to prevent contracting the virus. And obviously there'd have to be a whole range of education campaigns, and you'd have to involve the clinical community as well in that. I'd like to see, the Commonwealth guidelines around doctors prescribing HIV medication to people completely liberalised, so that if someone's living on HIV, someone's living with HIV, they can take medication whenever they like, and that would bring us into conformity with all the kind of international guidelines on it. So that's basically, my vision. I want to see a kind of renewed focus on people getting tested. We'll soon be able to get a test which doesn't take days or weeks, but say will be ready in, you know, less than an hour. Mm-hmm. And I want us to do all of those things, but not delude ourselves that there's a simple fix to HIV, or that you can just take a pill and it's going to go away. All those things have to be embedded within the community, and they have to be accepted by the community, and you need to have an organisation like VAC, which works in the community, informing people about them and educating people about them. I think that, in a nutshell, is where I want to push the organisation forward.
Good on. Now, Mike, you can hang around for a couple of minutes more, because I want to discuss the book with you.
Yes.
So we've got to hear some community service announcements. We have another piece of music by the gorgeous Pippa Wilson.
Hey.
Pippa Wilson is an Australian performer, and she actually performs live here in the studio at Joy quite often. So I think we'll enjoy that. And she does jazz. She plays jazz, so it's quite a smooth track. The name of the track, Mike, though, actually we should have played it right at the beginning, because the name of the track is I Don't Know Enough About You, but I think we know a heck of a lot now, but we're going to listen to it anyway. This is Well, Well, Well here on Joy 94.9.
I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. Just when I think you're mine, you try a different line.
Oh, Katie, thank you. And we always love the blooper tape from Katie. It's actually called the blooper tape on the thingo, because she messes it up. I almost said the F word. This is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9 as we celebrate the 30th anniversary of the Victorian AIDS Council Gay Men's Health Centre. And with us, of course, still with us, is our guest, Mike Williams. But that song we just played was I Don't Know Enough About You by Pippa Wilson, and it was out of 2009. Mike, on Saturday, we're having a big party at the Positive Living Centre. Lots of people have been invited, and I know that over 150 people have RSVP'd.
Wow.
Indeed.
I didn't know that it was that many.
Yeah, no.
I'm starting to feel nervous now.
Oh. Well, look, all I can say to you is they're not all going to be able to fit in that room, so there'll be a bit of spillover. So not everyone's going to be able to look and see what's happening. Everyone will be able to hear what's happening, but not everyone's going to be in a direct line of sight. So if you're coming, one of those 150 people, make sure you get there, you know, well on time. And what we're launching...
What is it? What is it that we're launching there, Dex?
It's a... Mike, what is it we're launching?
We're launching a book. We're launching the official history of the Victorian AIDS Council called Under the Red Ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage everyone, once it's launched, to buy the copies. It's a plug. Not sure if I can do that on community radio, but there you go. And it's a fantastic book, which, you know, charts the 30 years, the highs and the lows, and it's really, really great. And the authors have interviewed past presidents, past board members, people who've been really pivotal to the organisation's history. So it captures everything really nicely.
Indeed, and I will disclose here that I've been on the committee of people who have been putting together the events and also working with the consultants from a company called Way Back When, who actually wrote the book. And Catherine, one of the lead writers, has been along to all of the different events that we've had, the lectures, the barbecue at the Laird, and she will be there with her fellow writers on Saturday afternoon when we do the launch. But as well as launching the history book, which is $15 and will be available from 6 Claremont Street, the Victorian AIDS Council's headquarters, as of Monday morning. So we expect a flood, a rush of people coming in to buy it. At the same time, we're also launching a separate website, which will also be called Under the Red Ribbon. I think it's undertheredribbon.org.au, but we will be able to confirm that on our Facebook page. And it's going to have a similar sort of history, some, you know, perhaps a few more photos or some different photos that are in the book. And it will also tell the same story of the three decades of the organisation. It looks a little bit before HIV came into existence. So the meetings that happened, the newspaper reports that were coming in from the United States of America, and how the community decided to get together and to form an organisation, which now, of course, Mike, 30 years later, is a very strong organisation.
Absolutely.
We have 50 staff or something. Still have hundreds of volunteers who work in all sorts of areas of the organisation. Some of that is direct hands-on care, which is the part of the organisation that you entered through in HIV services.
That's right, yep. I imagine the website will have a great deal more in terms of pictures than the book can contain. So I think it'd be great if everyone got on the website and had a look at some of the fantastic education campaigns that VAC has run over the years and which have had a big impact nationally as well. So the website should have all that visual material there.
And I'm really pleased that you mentioned that visual material because it reminded me. The exhibition of posters called Passion, 30 Years of Safe Sex, is ongoing. It runs until the 16th of August. So it's open this Saturday afternoon at the Public Record Office, 99 Shields Street in North Melbourne. And it's open a fortnight later on a Saturday as well. But it's also open Monday to Friday from about 9 till 5, or maybe 9 till 4:30. They have a cafe there, they have a library, they have free Wi-Fi. And, well, it's a popular term, Adam. You know, people are bandying about now. Gets people along if you say free Wi-Fi.
Yes. Or you could actually just come down to Claremont Street and have a look at Tex's office because there's a multitude of history just in there.
Yeah, no one gets in there, do they?
No, but we actually have had a message come through that I thought I would just point out, and it's actually from Pippa Wilson.
Oh, Pippa.
Yes. Said she's loving the show and she was stoked that we're playing her song. And coincidentally, she's got a new album coming out in about 6 to 8 weeks, which is I Got a Right to Swing the Blues. So I thought I'd just point that out.
Oh, well, Pippa, I will be buying your new album because the album I played this from, I actually won as a member of being here on Joy. And Pippa, you've written in here to the Lucky Joy FM listener. Congratulations from Pippa Wilson. So thank you, and it's great to know that you're listening to Well, Well, Well. Now, Adam, before we finish, and we don't have that much longer to go, I did want to mention an event that's happening at Circuit, 103 Smith Street in Fitzroy.
And what is that event there, Tex?
Well, it's happening on the same day as our launch, but it's happening much later in the evening. Starts around 9 o'clock on Saturday, the 27th of July, and it's called The Give Party. The Give Party. So the idea is that as you go in the door, you will pay either a $5 or more donation, or you take along a gift, pre-wrapped gift in Christmas paper, that can be used for the Living Positive Victoria Christmas hampers.
Wow.
All the way away in December.
Well,
but
I was
of course,
say, we're
it's about
up,
6 months away.
Well, I was going to say, we're bringing up Christmas now. Like, how early is it going to get? But this is obviously a really good cause and a really way to get involved, because obviously when it comes to Christmas, not a lot of people have a lot of money left around. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like the party season, holiday season. So, you know, it's, I guess, in July when it's cold, it's time to sort of pull $5 out, go along to a really good event, and actually help out the community.
Yep, and look, if you don't have the $5, you can take along a gift to the value of $5 or more, because these hampers are distributed to people who are stuck in hospital on Christmas Day, or who are living in financial distress or financial hardship. So the gifts are taken around. A big Christmas stocking is taken around to each person by volunteers from Living Positive Victoria. And Christmas Day is 6 months from today.
Oh, my God.
Indeed. So it's called the Christmas Hamper. It's the Give Party. There's DJ Conti and guests. And it's occurring as part of Circuit's Christmas in July festivities. 103 Smith Street, Fitzroy, from about 9 o'clock on Saturday night. And that's the Give Party.
And we will point out that it is a men-only event. So,
oh, that's right, yes.
Yes, but obviously if you want to get involved with this really sort of good project, then you can contact Living Positive Victoria and actually get involved that way directly if you'd like to.
And you know what else I want to mention, Adam?
What's that, dear?
Well, as an almost non-smoker to a smoker, I'll say, Living Positive Victoria have their next Quit Fresh Start course. It's a 4-week course for all people living with HIV who want to quit smoking. Now, the next course actually starts on Monday the 29th at 6 p.m. Now, this is in partnership with Quit Victoria. Living Positive Victoria provide this free 4-week course for all people living with HIV who just want to give up smoking and have never actually managed it before. It's a comprehensive course covering understanding smoking, how you go about planning to quit, and then looking at the health effects of smoking, which we know are bad, but they actually lay it on the line. Quitting methods, coping without cigarettes physically and emotionally, really big one for me. Staying stocked in the short term and the long term, and then enjoying being a non-smoker forever. They need you to book now, which means tomorrow morning, or perhaps on Monday. You need to ring Living Positive Victoria. The telephone number, 9863 8733. What was that number, Adam?
That is 9863 8733, and that's 03 if you're listening from interstate or overseas.
Oh, but, indeed.
Well, yeah.
If you're ringing from overseas, it's 613. You don't actually do the 0, but I'm not going to quibble with you there.
You just did.
I'd like to say to Mike, our guest tonight, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We look forward to the next time we have you in. It won't be on a splendiferous occasion like our 30th anniversary, but there may be some news that needs to be got out and about, and sure, we would love to have you in the future to talk about it.
Great.
And have a great day on Saturday.
I'm sure it will be wonderful.
I believe you're MC.
Yes.
Yes, well, get your top hat on, get a chair in one hand and a whip in the other. Oh, no, that's a lion tamer. Sorry. And keep those crowds under control.
Yes.
We need to finish the show, Adam.
I know. Can you believe we've already gone through the hour?
Indeed. Now, coming up next, of course, is Hide and Seek. And I know it'll be Dean. I hope it will be Andrew. And I'm looking outside the window and I can see someone from the Laird Hotel, Brett from the Laird Hotel. So I'm pretty sure he's going to be a guest tonight. We need to thank again our guest, Mike. And anyone you want to say hello to?
I'll say hi to my mum, just in case she's listening and she's not at yoga or water aerobics or whatever she does on a Thursday night.
Thank
hi,
you.
Your mum.
I'll say good day to Warren up in Cairns, who I know and who listens, to Warren, who lives near, to Wayne, who lives near Nimbin, and to Deb, who lives in Reservoir.
And I'll give a shout out to my friend Ian Parsons, who
Yep.
And I'll give a shout out to Ian Parsons, who used to be on the board of VAC many years ago, who I hope will be there on Saturday.
Oh, good. Well, you've heard, so make sure you're there. Coming up after the next community service announcements and sponsorships, we're going to hear a little bit of Mark Trevorrow with a Modern Millie Now. We will be back next week. Cheers, everyone, and good night.
See ya.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.